We had a lot of fun, but we're not done yet. Still plenty left to get to on this edition of First Take, including can Odell and Baker win a Super Bowl this season? The state of the Raiders locker room following Gruden's dismissal, and do not miss Stephen A's response to what Stephon Marbury said about his Kyrie take. But let's get into Thursday night football here, fellas. TB12, you know what it is. Tampa Bay with a decimated secondary traveled to Philly. Tampa survived a late Eagles comeback, capping off a dominant performance with Teflon Tom completed 81% of his passes with a bad thumb en route to a 28-22 win. Brady had two TD passes. Leonard Fournette added two more as Tampa solidified its first place position in the NFC South. On the other side, the Eagles offense struggled in their loss to the Bucs, particularly in the first half. After marching down the field in a 75-yard touchdown drive on their opening possession, they punted on four of their final five drives at the half. The lone drive that didn't result in a punt was a Jalen Hurts interception. Hurts, not efficient. 12 of 26, 150 yards, one TD, and one pick. The Eagles put up
in the first half and put that on me first. There's no doubt our offense needs to get better and to give our team a chance to win.
I haven't executed well enough to win, clearly, because the ball touches my hands every play. And I enjoy that. And I like that. I'm not doing enough right now to win. I'm not doing enough to start fast. I have to be better.
Okay. Ryan Clark joining us. RC, how we doing?
Good. How are y'all today?
Hold on. Before we move any further, yeah. I know I said it earlier this week, but I want to say it again. Happy birthday, my brother. You understand? My Libra brother.
Happy birthday to you too, my man.
My Libra brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a good week for the world.
I'm getting myself in good shape. Thanks to you. You one of those people that stayed on me about it.
I would like to
remind everybody, I got my brother by 12 years. Hopefully I'm around to see how you look in 12 years from now, my brother. I hope that you is.
I hope so, dog. I hope so.
We can move on, Molly. We can move on.
I have no words. I'm just going to just take a moment and marinate on all of that.
How about that?
Okay.
While you're getting your tan. Go ahead.
I am enjoying my tan.
That's right.
Thank you, Stephen A. I am happy to be in California. Yeah. It has been very nice.
Yes.
Ry, I'll start with you. We haven't had a chance to hear from you. Do you believe in Jalen Hurts?
I do believe in Jalen Hurts. Here's the problem. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to ruin Jalen Hurts. He's accounted for 85% of the offense this year, Molly, both in the run and in the pass. Last night, you called 9 total runs for running backs. Nick Sirianni can't believe that this is the way to bring along a young QB. It's only been 10 games into him starting. And is he Justin Herbert? No. Is he Joe Burrow? No. But those guys were picked 6th overall and 1 overall. Those guys have some wide receivers with some experience, some players on the outside that we've seen make plays in this league before. The Philadelphia Eagles have none of those things. Jalen Hurts doesn't have any of those things. Jalen Hurts has a first-year head coach who's supposed to be this great play caller who isn't calling plays in that manner right now. And so when I look at Jalen Hurts and what he has been able to do and some of the statistics he has been able to produce and the leadership qualities that this dude has, I believe in him. Now, if I was a Philadelphia hater, like Stephen A., I'd probably be moaning and groaning and wishing for the days of Randall Cunningham and Donovan McNabb. But being that I'm a realist, being that I'm not a guy who forgot that I cut my teeth in journalism in Philadelphia, I understand that Jalen Hurts' problem is not Jalen Hurts, it's play calling in the Philadelphia Eagles.
You don't cross the line. You done crossed the line, my man. You done crossed the line.
You know what?
If you was here, I would confront you. And you my brother, I would confront you. How dare you say that? How dare you say that to me?
You know you be hating on Philly.
Come on. That's not true. Come on, RC.
The only thing you like about Philly, is Allen Iverson. That's it. If it ain't Bubba Chuck, you show Philly no love. It is not the city of brotherly love to you because you do not treat it with any love. And you know that, Stephen A., you know you always hating on Philly.
Time. There's a lot of love in Philadelphia.
God.
Philadelphia's been very good to me. I'm good.
Oh, my gosh.
Philadelphia is a wonderful city. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't know where you got that information from. It is beyond false. It is beyond false, Ryan Clark. I don't know. You got to do your homework on that. Anyway, here's the deal. Here's the deal, okay? That is not true. I would tell you this. First of all, I don't hate on these folks. But I am objective enough to point to what I see. And when it comes to Jalen Hurts, my position is consistent. When he was at Oklahoma, I had questions about him. When he was at Alabama before that, I had questions about him. When he came into the NFL, I had questions about him. And it was really the same question. I never questioned his athleticism. I never questioned his commitment to winning. I never questioned the fact that he could ball. What I said was his accuracy as a pocket passer, as a quarterback. Can he be that dude? That's what I need to see. And so I agree with you with Sirianni and a play caller. It's been awful. Miles Sanders can run with the football. You got to give him more opportunities. This brother can run with the football. He proved that last year. And the year before that, give him the damn football and let him show you what he can do. You've got Devontae Smith. You got Zach Ertz. You've got Goddard. You've got these boys. I mean, I'm like, listen, I'm looking at these guys. Quez Watkins, you're looking at these guys and I'm saying, wait a minute. Give them the opportunity. It ain't just about them. There are a lot of weapons that you got on the offensive side of the ball. But ultimately, it has to come down. And you know this better than me, RC and Sam. At some point in time, when a coach doesn't put you in the position that they should put you into, perhaps it's because we have more of a belief in that quarterback than that coach does. We've seen that a lot of times. Now, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but that is something that should concern you when it comes to Jalen Hurts. And it ain't hating to point that out. It's factual, which is something you usually appreciate, RC. And that's what I got to say about that. Sam, the floor is yours. I'll get back to RC. And by the way, I need you to get new headphones. I need you to get new headphones. Go ahead, Sam.
You treat Philadelphia like Ben Simmons, man. Hush.
No.
Oh, I
treat Ben Simmons. First of all, don't tell your elders to hush. That's very rude. Secondly, I treat Ben Simmons like Ben Simmons, not Philly like Ben Simmons. I happen to think Ben Simmons could be a superstar.
That was a pretty good line by Ryan. Right, come on.
My rebuttal will be this. I don't think that Jalen Hurts is the issue in Philly. I think it's really more around Nick Sirianni, like we talked about. And it's more about his mentality and his mindset. He believes in his receivers, which is great. Devontae Smith, Quez Watkins, I'm all about it. He believes in that, but he believes in them too much. You have to have some kind of running game if you want to win in the NFL. Here's what I mean by that. Tom Brady, he has top statistics as a quarterback in the NFL, but Tampa Bay and Bruce Arians, they love to run the ball. They have a play called 22 double. When it's 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1, it's a no back power. Well, they will get the first down. They run the ball. The LA Rams years ago, when they have this great offense, they love running the ball. You have to have some kind of running attack. You can't have 9 called runs against the team. You can't average 2nd lowest in the league of 16. That's the issue. You put too much pressure on your quarterback, too much pressure on your receivers. And not only that, defenses can say, oh, wow, they're only going to run the ball 9 times. Let's hunt every single play. Let's go get after the quarterback. It's easier to game plan when you don't have a running game. And that's the issue. It's not Jalen Hurts. No matter who was a quarterback in Philly, if you're not calling enough runs, you're not going to have any success.
All right, I just want to get this in here, guys. We got some breaking news into First Take. Zach Ertz has been traded to the Arizona Cardinals in exchange for a 5th-round pick. Sources telling ESPN, Zach Ertz now on the Cardinals. Let's get some reaction here. Stephen A., I'll start with you.
I love it. Let me tell you something. I've been talking about the Arizona Cardinals. I've been talking about what Kyler Murray does. He's completing 75% of his passes, so we know he can throw the football. Then we're sitting there and we're looking at him and we know what he can do running the football this side of Lamar Jackson. Then you look at DeAndre Hopkins and A.J. Green and Christian Kirk and you say Rondale Moore and you're looking at them and saying, all right, they got some weapons. And then you just add it?
Yeah.
Zach Ertz?
It was for a 5th-round pick and cornerback. I want to make sure I didn't miss saying that because 5th-round pick sounded too small.
I'm telling you right now, this makes their offense more potent. It gives Kyler Murray an additional reliable weapon. I like Zach Ertz a lot. I think this elevates Arizona, and they're undefeated right now.
And the crazy thing is, Stephen A., Kyler Murray didn't even need more reliable weapons and he got some. I think Steve Keim should win GM of the year. Like, look at the moves that he's making. The great teams that want to win, they keep on getting better even when they're strong. We saw Kansas City do that a few years back. Last thing I'll say, after the game, we all saw that video of Zach Ertz getting emotional in the locker room. Nobody knew what happened. Well, now we know he's going to a contender. Congratulations, Zach Ertz. I'm proud of you. Happy for you.
Man, you know that's bad when you crying because you get to get out of Philly. That's where the Philadelphia Eagles are, and that's where that city is. That man is crying because he gets to leave. I mean, when you think about the Arizona Cardinals and the way that they've played already this season, the way the defense has progressed with the addition of J.J. Watt, and now you add Zach Ertz to an offense that truly doesn't even need him, but to a quarterback that's now learning to spread the ball around when DeAndre Hopkins is doubled, I mean, this team is going to be troubled throughout the season. The only thing to derail them is Cliff Kingsbury, and we'll see how he adjusts as the season goes along.
Absolutely. All right, we'll leave it there. Still plenty more to come here on First Take. A lot of football to get into. And also, Stephen A. having some words about his take on Kyrie Irving. All that coming up next. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. It's been a season to forget for Odell Beckham so far. Just 9 catches for 124 yards. Stephen A., yesterday you called for the Browns to trade Odell Beckham Jr. shortly after he spoke to the media and admitted he's not happy. Here's OBJ.
It sucks. At the end of the day, losing sucks, period. I can't sit here and lie like I don't want the ball. Like I tell you, every time I get up here, they don't pay James Harden for defense. You know what I mean? He's a shooter. Like I feel like I'm a shooter, you know?
Ryan, talk to me. Do you think Odell and Baker can win a Super Bowl together?
I do, but I mean, it's not just about Odell and Baker, right? It's about this team as a whole. And in some of the other comments that Odell made, he did say, you know, James Harden is a shooter. You know, James Harden has to shoot the ball and he feels like he's a shooter and he wants to get the ball. But he did ultimately talk about winning. He did ultimately talk about he understands the way the Cleveland Browns play offense. And you mentioned some of the statistics, Molly. And when you just listen to the statistics, you're like, oh, Odell ain't doing crap. But then you go back and you watch the film of the Minnesota Vikings and you realize he's wide open in the end zone on a whip route double move that Baker Mayfield misses him on. He beats Cam Dantzler down the sideline and Baker Mayfield throws it at the back of Dantzler's helmet. He also has a switch route late in the game in which he's wide open and Baker throws it toward the sideline instead of up the field. And so there were opportunities to hit him. And then in the Los Angeles Chargers game, he just wasn't targeted very often. But when you watch Odell Beckham Jr., he still has juice. He's still a dude that beats one-on-one coverage consistently. Go back to the Chicago Bears game where I think Odell was like 5 for 77. He also had a reverse for that he picked up a first down on. That's the way that Odell Beckham should be used. He should be a part of the offense, not the offense. He should be allowed to eat, but he doesn't have to be force-fed. And I think if Baker Mayfield can get that in his head, if they can figure out that chemistry and that understanding in a consistent way, then it makes this team better. But it is going to be on Baker to play better than he has the last 3 weeks, or it doesn't matter if they have Odell Beckham Jr., Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, and Terrell Owens. This team won't win a Super Bowl, not because of Odell and Baker, just because of Baker.
RC, I'll defer to your judgment because I appreciate your breakdown, and I know how much you know football. But I'm going to ask you a question that's highly sensitive, but a Super Bowl champion such as yourself is qualified to answer. I understand when two guys are not on the same page and, you know, bad passes are thrown, wrong routes are ran, all of this other stuff. Have you ever seen a star caliber wide receiver ignored this much by his quarterback?
See, Stephen A., I don't want to give Baker that because I think Baker goes through an internal battle with dealing with Odell Beckham Jr. the right way. I think he loves Odell Beckham Jr. If you watch Baker Mayfield, he seems like he wants to be liked. I feel like when he doesn't get Odell the ball enough, he forces it to him. And then after forcing the football to him against Minnesota, he said, oh, I forced it to him too much. I didn't play well. Let me not look for him enough. And so I think this is something that Baker Mayfield has been dealing with since Odell Beckham Jr. got there, and he just still haven't figured it out.
The reason I'm asking you that question is because, you know, obviously, you know, I brought up the word sabotage, and I felt that way. And I want to make sure I'm clear about what I'm saying. I don't think that Baker Mayfield hates Odell Beckham Jr. or he's not friendly, he doesn't care about him. I'm not trying. That's not what I mean. What I mean is, like I said to Tim Tebow on hour number one, there are people who want to win at all costs, and then there are people who want to win their way. And when I think about Beckham Jr., and I think about how big time he is, not just as a talent, but the level of attention that he draws, I think about what Cleveland was like without him last year and how smooth things seem to be for Baker Mayfield. And then I get to this season, and I say, you know what? If Odell Beckham Jr. is out on that field and that brother is doing his thing and he's drawing that level of attention because he's catching touchdowns and everybody's looking at him and he's celebrating and he's dancing and he's doing whatever it is that he's doing and the attention is drawn to him and away from Baker Mayfield, is it possible and is it plausible that that may be something that Baker Mayfield doesn't necessarily like? Because I'm looking at a guy in Odell Beckham Jr. If you get this brother, what he can do after the catch can also make a quarterback look good. He can turn a 5-yard pass into a 70-yard gain or a 70-yard TD. So he's that electrifying of a talent when he's healthy. And it just boggles my mind when I look at the maturation that has taken place within Baker Mayfield, who has clearly gotten better and better and better and more focused, and they're winning football games. And he no longer has more progressive commercials than wins. Now it's flipped around the right way, and all of this stuff is going on. But somehow, some way, while you've learned to do everything else right, the hiccup in your game is that you're missing Odell Beckham Jr. while he's open. This is the kind of stuff that I don't expect to see or hear from somebody. And that's where I'm going with this. I don't know the reason why. I don't know Baker Mayfield. I'm not trying to cast any aspersions on his character in terms of him having some beef with Odell. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is somewhere along the line, it makes absolutely no sense that that would be the guy that you miss of all people that you're on the field with. That would be the guy you miss. Yeah. I have a hard time accepting that.
Yeah, it seems extremely strange, but I'm with you. I don't think that's about Baker Mayfield's character. I don't think it's about Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. not getting along. I don't even know if it's about Baker wanting a certain level of attention, because you get attention when you make big plays. You get attention when you win. And there's no person on that team more capable of making big plays than Odell Beckham Jr. It's just been a strange 2.5 years for Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr., and they still haven't found the answer. What we do know is the statistics say that Baker Mayfield is better when Odell Beckham Jr. is not on the field. And that's strange to me that you can have better statistics when one of the best players at his position isn't on the field as opposed to when he's not.
Listen, it certainly would be electric if they could get some chemistry going, that's for sure. All right, we're going to keep it moving here because, RC, there's a lot of things we want to get your take on.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
It's time for Quick Takes. The Dodgers and Giants played a great series that ended with L.A. winning on this check swing called Strike 3. Stephen A., was this a swing?
No, it was not. And it's a shame that such a matchup had to end like that. They were only down one run. One swing could have actually won the game. I'm happy the Dodgers won, but damn, it shouldn't have ended like that.
Stephen A., LeBron and his all-star Laker cast went 0-6 in the preseason. Yes, I'm talking preseason. Are you concerned about L.A.?
Not even a little bit. This is LeBron James. we're talking about here. A guy that's been to 10 NBA finals in his career, and we're going to measure him by the preseason. Let's stop that nonsense. They're veteran squad playing together. It'll take them a few months, but they'll be fine, and they damn sure shouldn't be concerned about anything in the preseason.
The King. RC, the Cowboys only have one loss and are favored to win versus the Patriots this weekend. Should Stephen A. be nervous about his Cowboys against Bill Belichick?
Absolutely. Southern Stephen A. should be shaking in his boots. I don't know what type of boots you wear when you make that
Cowboy
much money,
boots.
But he should be shaking in them. Stephen A. already knows. He's already prepping. That's the reason he brought the playmaker on for Monday, because he's waiting for the playoffs when the Dallas Cowboys are still making plays, and the playmaker's going to be sweating every single Monday, and Stephen A. is going to have that little cigar, and he's not going to be able to light it. He's not going to be able to have that Southern drawl, because I feel like this year that anything can happen will not happen to the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys are a team that is primed and ready to be in the divisional playoffs, in the divisional playoff round, the NFC championship rounds, and maybe even the Super Bowl. So Stephen A., I don't know what you're going to do, but get your hat ready, get your stogie ready, get your boots ready, because it's going to be a long, long year for Southern Stephen A.
Dallas Cowboys ain't going to no damn Super Bowl. And you ain't going to sit up there on national television and say that they will. But I will tell you this. I reckon you have a point, buddy. I reckon you have a point. I got to admit, buddy, those Dallas Cowboys look a little bit impressive right now. Got me a little bit nervous, but I don't expect it to last. They will fall when it's time. I'm not going to worry about it just yet. But I am getting a little bit nervous. I'll admit that.
All right. The Cowboys have not beat the Patriots since 1990.
No, they'll win this weekend.
All right. Just throwing out that stat. I thought it was a good stat.
Yeah.
RC, this is for you, though. The Raiders have had a long week since John Gruden resigned for his leaked emails. Rich Bisaccia takes over as head coach, and the Raiders get set to take on the Broncos on Sunday. Ryan, you've been in locker rooms, right? You've won Super Bowls. You understand the situation. What would you say to the Raiders players?
I think it doesn't matter who takes over as head coach. It doesn't matter what the outside noise is. This is a moment that you get to unite everyone in that locker room. The locker room is a special place. I don't know, you know, if you've ever been in a football locker room, there is no coaches in there. There is no trainers. There is no equipment managers that have lockers. It's only players. And usually what happens in whether it's America or society or with a team is that we can't all be united on everything. Right. There's always this division or this chasm between the people that are offended, those who can be empathetic, those who can side with them, those who can feel what they feel. Well, in this, everybody was insulted. It doesn't matter who you are in that building. There was something in those emails. There was something about the visceral of those words that touched you. And so now if I'm an African-American player in that locker room, if I'm a leader in that locker room, I can throw my arms around Carl Nassib and say, man, I understand what you're going through. What you are going through, my people, myself, we have heard those insults. We have heard those slurs, and we are here with you. It doesn't matter what the executives say. It doesn't matter what the head coach says. This is about us. It's about us, our efforts, our energies, our works that we put into winning football games, that we put into dispelling that we can be broken down by anybody's hate, by anybody's evil, by anyone's words. Because see, what this did was this allowed the world to see that people like this still exist. This allowed the world to see that football and winning isn't the great equalizer, because it's not. It's one thing to work with people. It's another thing to have people work for you. John Gruden, his entire life, had people work for him. These dudes on this team, they work with each other. They work together. They are family. They are brothers. This is an opportunity to show that you, as a family, as a brotherhood, know how to unite when it's important. That for the cheerleaders who were insulted, that for the marketing directors who were insulted, that for anybody in the LGBTQ community that was insulted, that we know how to fix this. We fix this by coming together. We fix this by having one another's backs. And the way you show that in football is by winning. The way you show that in football is by your energy, by your hustle, by your commitment. So what I'm telling my teammates is we're going to commit to one another. right? We're going to put our efforts into one another. We're going to support one another. And on Sundays, when the football is kicked off, we're going to ride for one another. Because when one brother makes a play, we all make a play. And that's what the Las Vegas Raiders are now.
Ryan, I don't disagree with anything that you just said. I agree with you 1,000%. But I want to also take it to another level from a macro perspective, just about what we had to endure with the whole John Gruden situation this week. And I saw Randy Moss on NFL Countdown Sunday damn near reduced to tears because of not just what John Gruden did, but how exhausted folks are from having to deal with the stuff that we had to deal with. And I come from a different cloth in this respect, Ryan. I totally agree and get where Randy Moss is coming from, just like I got where you're coming from, because it does get tiring. It does get exhausted or whatever. Then I remind ourselves, and I can't speak to members of the gay community. They can speak for themselves because they know what they endure. But I can speak as a black man. What we've endured, what we've been through, what our ancestors have been through, and what we had to endure in order to get to this point. And there's a level of intestinal resolve that we have to have. Because you have to understand that at the end of the day, ultimately, we're covering the world of sports. And what is one competitor after another trying to do to their adversary? They're trying to break them. They're trying to break them up here. Mm-hmm. They're trying to break them here. That's what they're trying to do. And you usually win when you don't let that happen. And so my message to everybody would be, I know the world is jacked up sometimes because we got some jacked up people in the world whose hearts simply are not in the right place. And that's incredibly unfortunate. But how we overcome them is not just because we come together. It's not just because we call out the wrong that people do. It's because we've got a level of intestinal resolve that it reminds them, you will not break me. You will not break Ryan. You will not break Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. You will not break any of us. We're going to keep on coming, no matter what. Because at the end of the day, when your spirit is right and your soul is right and is buffered by a level of intestinal fortitude that shows you can't be broken, guess who gets exhausted? They will. They will. And if you call NASA or anybody else, that you're one of those female officials that John Gruden was alluding to or whatever. Women have been through an awful lot, too. You know this, okay? Don't let them break you. Strengthen yourself, your inner intestinal resolve, and you know what? You march forward, and you mow them down. That's what you do. No matter how they try to come at you, that's what you do. You keep on moving forward. You make them retreat. And that's what we're really talking about here. And I just want to make sure everybody doesn't forget that.
Absolutely.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Kyrie Irving and his vaccination status have been a big topic of discussion in sports and on this show. Stephen A., you have been very strong in your condemnation of him. And yesterday, former NBA All-Star Stephon Marbury posted a video of himself going at you for that notion. Here it is.
It's sad to hear Stephen A. Smith talk about Kyrie Irving the way how he's talking about him. calling him selfish. This man has done so much stuff for human beings and giving back and trying to help so many different people, all different cultures, not just black people. This is what happens when you have people like this guy who's animated, not realistic about what it is that he speaks and talks about. He played a little bit of basketball, but come on, serious? You letting this guy talk to you about sports? This guy never got hit in a football game. He never swung a bat, and this is the person who they have speaking and talking about what's going on in sports. Man, y'all need to defund his voice.
All right, Stephen A., I will give you the floor to respond to that.
Thank you. Give me the camera, please. First of all, I'm not going to go off about Stephon Marbury. We are here. We give our opinions every day. Stephon Marbury is a brother out of Brooklyn, New York, who could ball. I covered him in Lincoln High School. I knew him. I knew his brothers to a lesser degree. His wonderful parents as well. I'm not going to insult Stephon Marbury. I will say Stephon Marbury has had a problem with me since 2009 because we thought he was a bit bizarre when he was eating Vaseline, literally on video, like it was a bunch of cheeseburgers or something, like gobbling Vaseline, crying. He later admitted he was depressed and what have you. And then obviously because of that, the level of awareness with, you know, issues of mental health came in the fold. And so that's nothing to joke about or to be disrespectful about. As it pertains to him and his support of Kyrie Irving, I can understand it. Stephon Marbury was on 5 different NBA teams. Stephon Marbury was somebody that was considered an incredible, tremendous talent who had leadership issues when he was in the NBA. And so it seems more than apropos that he would come to the support of a Kyrie Irving. Here's my point about Kyrie Irving that I would ask Stephon Marbury and them to remember. And by the way, you don't have to bring up the fact that I balled because I couldn't shine Stephon Marbury's shoes as a basketball player. When they were talking about Felipe Lopez and all of that stuff, Stephon Marbury was the big-time player out of New York City. He was sensational. And Kyrie Irving is sensational. I don't even belong in the mention in the same breath as them. I'm a journalist, a reporter, a commentator. That's where my stuff lies, not as a ball player. I don't even deserve to be mentioned in the same breath as y'all. But I'm a grown-ass man, and I'm a black man. And I've watched people like yourself in these positions where you can be leaders, and you elect to take a pass. And that is what I am accusing Kyrie Irving of doing. And let's go down the list. You're in Cleveland. You're playing with the great LeBron James. You can't get along with him. You decide to ask out of it. You transfer to Boston because you threatened Cleveland that you would not be willing to play if they didn't move you. You go to Boston, and what do? They go to the finals without, I'm sorry, they go to the Eastern Conference Finals without you because you get hurt. You come back the next year and things are a bit discombobulated. You apologize to LeBron James, saying that you didn't realize what he was talking about at the time because there was a leadership issue. Okay, you ultimately end up departing out of Boston. After promising Boston fans I would stay there, okay, if you'll have me, and then you get up and leave. You end up going to Brooklyn. You're there the first year because KD ain't with you because he tears his Achilles. You only play 20 games. Then the next year you come and you get hurt right before the season is halted because of a pandemic. During the summertime before play was to be resumed, you're encouraging players to put themselves in a position where billions of dollars would cost, it would cost them billions of dollars if they were to sit up there and not play in the bubble because the players, the NBA owners would have ripped up the CBA agreement because they were losing so much money. It would have rendered all contracts null and void, and then you would have had to start all over. You go public with that proclamation without talking to CP3 and the leadership for the NBA Players Association. You go out on your own. Then, after that, you're gone for 10 months. I'm talking about Kyrie Irving, obviously. You're gone for 10 months. And in that 10-month span, once you come back, you play 7 games over a 2-week period and then say, I need a break for personal reasons. And then now here we are with the vaccine. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm vaccinated, but I was nervous about it too.
okay? I understand Kyrie's reservations. But when you go to an ICU unit and you see a bunch of black people in there, you understand that it has been infected by the virus. When you think about pre-existing conditions that have plagued our community and what have you, and you see black people dying, you take the position that I think I took. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. But my point is, you left Brooklyn hanging. So KD is there because of you, and James Harden is there to a degree because of you. But you're not there with them. And I'm saying, once again, this points to leadership. And last time I checked, that makes me disqualified because I've taken that position. It makes me disqualified to talk about this. Stephon Marbury, I was a sports writer when you were in high school. You didn't say anything about me then. If Stephon Marbury has such a problem with my voice, why did you use my voice prominently on your own documentary, The Kid Out of Coney Island, that was aired on Netflix? Go look at Stephon Marbury's documentary and who's all over it. Why did you have these people come interviewing me about you and about how great you were if suddenly my voice was a problem? You see the inconsistency? You messing with the wrong brother, my brother. I'm going to say what it is, and I mean what I say. I ain't selling out. I'm looking out. The fact of the matter is, Kyrie Irving has put himself in a position where we get to question his leadership based on the multitude of decisions that he has made.
Yeah.
It doesn't make him a bad person, because he's not. It doesn't get us to ignore his philanthropy, because we shouldn't. He's a beautiful person whose heart's in the right place, who's done a lot of great things for a lot of great people. But on this particular issue, I believe he's wrong. If you disagree with me, I respect that. Whether you're in China or New York or anywhere in between, you have a right to voice your opinion.
Right.
But don't act like just because I didn't play the game on your level that I don't get to say this about Kyrie Irving.
Let's leave it there. And I just want to say one thing. We really have to get in a break. But as a woman, and obviously I'm not a part of this conversation between you and Stephon Marbury, when we talk about people being disqualified, then no women would really be in sports. Then I could have never worked at NFL Network or cover, because we're not taking hits. We're not wearing pads. So in terms of being disqualified, there would be no women.
Well, I
just want you to realize, if we're saying you haven't put on the pads, you hadn't.
He just wants to disqualify me because he doesn't agree with what I'm saying. And Kyrie Irving is trying to paint himself as a victim when this is about his leadership.
But part of the disqualification was because you didn't play at that level. So I'm saying, what does it mean for all females in sports then?
By the way, very bad news.
We didn't play in the NBA or the NFL. Do you get what I'm saying?
Very bad news for y'all. I got 5 years to go on my deal. And I'm going to be on NBA countdown. And I'm going to be here. I know you might not like it, Stephon Marbury. You're going to have to deal with that.
Let's leave it there. Anywhere. Hey, Molly Karam here. And thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. It's that time of the week, cue the music, where your brains get bigger and hopefully your wallets get fatter. It's Molly's deal. Gentlemen, are we ready? Ryan, you're up first. More passing yards on Sunday, Baker or Kyler?
Kyler Murray, absolutely, because if you're Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns, you're going to run the football. Kyler Murray's going to throw this football all around the field with all of those skill weapons. More yards for Kyler.
Absolutely, easy money. Stephen A., your guy Trayvon Diggs, simply put, will he have a pick on Sunday versus Mac Jones, yes or no?
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Keeping the streak alive.
Yeah.
He's been something special, that Diggs, Stephen A. He's a bright spot.
Yeah, he's my defensive player of the year thus far.
Yeah. RC, I know you love that. All right,
absolutely,
RC, back to
absolutely.
You. Absolutely. Will Trevor Lawrence throw two or more TDs versus the other Florida team, the Dolphins?
No, he will not. Trevor Lawrence will not throw two or more TDs. He is playing better, but he ain't ready for that prime time yet. No more than one.
All right, Stephen A., back to you. One of your teams again. More passing yards Sunday Night Football, Big Ben or Geno Smith?
Big Ben. He better throw more yards than Geno Smith. He better throw more yards than Geno Smith.
Are
you kidding me?
What if they run the ball, Stephen A? Look,
if he don't run throw more yards than Geno Smith, we got a problem.
Lastly,
we got a problem.
RC, we end with you. This seems like a trick question. Will Josh Allen throw for 300 plus yards versus the Titans on Monday Night Football?
You know what? He will not. I say Josh Allen throws for in between 250 and 280. He does not get to 300, but the Bills still win.
I beg to differ on that one, RC. All right, that'll do it for us. Stephen A.,
yes.
Tell me this. Do you have the Browns or the Cardinals?
I'm going with the Cardinals to win this game.
Okay.
I think that Kyler Murray's going to put on the show. It's going to be tough. Cleveland's no joke, but I think they're going to squeeze it out.
RC's with it. Co-signing. All right, everybody, have a fabulous weekend. We will see you on Monday. Michael Irvin will be here. Thanks, Rye.